But after what they'd just experienced, none of them contradicted her. Tella didn't go into the history of the Fates, or how they'd been freed from a deck of destiny. But she said enough so that once the servants and the boy recovered, they could warn others about the danger Valenda was now in. It felt like an insignificant effort, but hopefully, it would save a few other people from being turned into human toys or from being murdered, like her mother in Legend. Tella's eyes scanned the dusky horizon, as if Legend finally might appear on it, shining brighter than the stars that were beginning to sneak out. She kept searching for signs of his return after all the servants were fed and bandaged and helped back to their quarters in the rear of the estate, which didn't possess any of the rot that had clung to the Count's library. Tella was ready to follow the servants inside and wash up, but Scarlet lingered outside the door on an overgrown path covered in peculiar phases. "Do you want to come inside with me to wash up?" Tella asked. The air was still, but Scarlet's skirts rustled around her ankles. Tella hadn't noticed when the gown had shifted colors. Earlier, it had been a brilliant ball gown red. Now, it was mourning black. "I'm sorry about Nicholas," Tella said. "He didn't deserve to die like that." "No, he didn't. I should never have tried to find him. Then he'd still be alive." Scarlet's eyes glistened with tears as she looked up at Tella. "We can't let the Fallen Star do this to anyone else." "We won't," Tella reached out to take her sister's hand. But Scarlet stepped back, a worried line between her brows. "I'm sorry, Tella. I thought I could stay here with you and Julian, but I need to return to the Fallen Star."
"What? No!"
Tella's voice was joined by Julian as he emerged from the servants' quarters.
"You can't!"
Julian must have just cleaned up. His dark hair dripped water all over the overgrown path as Scarlet stepped closer to the estate and away from the servants' open windows.
"I'm sorry," Scarlet said, "but I have to do this. I think I might be the key to defeating the Fates."
"Absolutely not!" Julian bellowed, while Tella yelled, "Have you lost your mind? He killed our mother and threatened to turn you into a Fate. You can't go back to him."
"I don't want to go back," Scarlet said. "But I knew I had to as soon as I saw those servants. If they'd been left much longer, they wouldn't have survived."
"But how will your going back do anything to help other people like them?"
Tella argued. She wanted the same thing as her sister. She wanted to find a way to kill the Fallen Star and protect everyone from the terror of him and his Fates.
But this was not the way to do it.
"The Vanished Market is one of the fated places," she said. "There are sisters there who sell secrets, and I think they might have one that will tell us how to kill the Fallen Star."
"What if they don't?" Scarlet argued. "Then we'll find another way," Julian cut in.
"I think this is the other way," Scarlet said. "The Fallen Star wants me to master my powers, and I think that might be the key to stopping him. There was another Fate there, the Lady Prisoner. She told me that to defeat the Fallen Star, I needed to become what he wanted."
"Of course she'd say that," Tella spat. "The Lady Prisoner is a Fate.
He has her locked in a cage. She can't get out unless he dies. And even if she is trying to manipulate me, it doesn't mean she's wrong. What she told me makes sense.
Tella, you said that if an immortal loves, they become human. If I conquer my powers, I could make him love. I could turn him human, and then we could defeat him."
"Or you could conquer your powers and turn into a Fate," Tella said.
"And love doesn't work that way," Julian added. "Magic can do a lot of things, but I don't think you can make someone love with it. This is too dangerous."
"I'm not asking either of you to let me do this. It's my choice, not yours. So I'm only asking you not to stop me.
Unless we find another way to destroy him, I'm the only one who can do this. And I want to do this. Tella, you once told me there's more to life than staying safe.
I was talking about having fun, not moving in with murderers.
Well, I don't think any one of us will be having fun if the Fallen Star takes over the Empire. And we both know you'd do the same thing.
Scarlet enclosed her sister in another hug. She gave incredible hugs. She knew exactly how tight to hold, when to stay silent, and when to let go. But no matter when she let go of this hug, it would be too soon. Tella held on tighter. She wanted to keep arguing. If she kept fighting, if she told Scarlet how terrified she was, if she went into details about Nicholas's gruesome death and reminded her of the way the Fallen Star had killed their mother, Tella knew she could convince her to stay. Tella wanted to do that so much, but she just vowed to do whatever it took to defeat the Fallen Star, and she meant it. She just hadn't thought it would take her sister. She sagged against Scarlet as the sky finished darkening into a rippling black night.
"Are you sure you don't want to be selfish right now and just think about saving yourself?"
"Of course I want to do that. But I need to do this for me. For you, for Julian, and for all the servants we just helped, who don't have a chance at doing what I can. I can't do nothing when I have the ability to do something. And I have the reverie key. If it gets too dangerous, I'll escape."
"Keys can be stolen," Tella murmured.
"I'll be cautious." Scarlet hugged her sister tighter until Tella finally pulled away. She hadn't wanted to. But if Scarlet was going to go back to the Fallen Star, she needed to do it soon, before anyone noticed her absence. Scarlet probably wanted a proper goodbye with Julian as well. And by proper, Tella imagined it would be the sort of goodbye that the prying eyes of a sister weren't meant to witness.
Chapter 31. Scarlet. As Tella went into the guest quarters and tried to wash off all the dirt and sorrow and lingering traces of guilt from her person, Scarlet stood under a wedge of moonlight, preparing for another goodbye that she didn't want to have. Julian appeared to feel the same way. His brow furrowed, his lips were pressed tightly together, and when he wrapped his arms around Scarlet, there was nothing soft or tender in his touch.
"I know you said this isn't my choice, but you can't tell me that you've chosen me and then give me absolutely no say in your life.
Is this your way of asking me again not to go?"
"No."
He held her closer, tucking her head to his chest.
"In the future, because there will be a future for us. I just hope you can talk to me about things like this rather than telling me you've already made up your mind."
"All right," Scarlet conceded. "But I hope you do the same."
"I wouldn't ask it of you if I wasn't planning on that."
Julian's fingers clutched her waist, as if he could still find a way that didn't involve letting her go.
Scarlet wished he could. She really didn't want to go back to the Fallen Star. But in that moment, she was more worried about Julian. Like Tella, he was impulsive and ruled by his emotions, which Scarlet could see were gray as storm clouds and full of worry.
"What if I try to slip you letters every few days? I don't think it will be safe to visit again." And she didn't think it would be safe to send him messages either, but she worried that if she couldn't find a way to assure him she was all right, he would come after her eventually and put himself in danger.
"I can open a door with the reverie key to send you notes to let you know I'm all right."
"I still don't like it," Julian said.
"If you did, my feelings would probably be injured."
He pressed a kiss to her forehead, and for a moment his lips stayed there.
"Be careful, Crimson."
"I'm always careful."
"I don't know."
He pulled away just enough for her to see his mouth twitch at the corner.
"A careful girl wouldn't say she loved me."
"You're wrong. I don't think my heart could be safer than in your hands." But even as she said it, her heart felt heavy. Julian's mouth was still forming half a smile, but his eyes were expressing something else. Scarlet always loved his eyes. They were brown and warm and full of all of the emotion that drove him. Julian wasn't always honest, but his eyes were. And right then he was looking at her as if he was afraid the next time he saw her she wouldn't be the same. "I'm going to come back to you," she promised.
"That's not the only thing I'm worried about."
His voice was hoarse.
"I've spent most of my life around magic. My brother's magic has brought me back to life more times than I can count. I've tried to walk away, but magic like that is difficult to leave. I know right now you think that if you can conquer your powers, you can control the fallen star. But your magic might end up controlling you instead."
His eyes left hers to glance over her enchanted dress before landing on the faded key in her hand. It shimmered silver bright in the dusky light. She hadn't even realized she'd already taken it from her pocket. Relying on the key was becoming a habit, just like wearing her enchanted dress. But she didn't want to depend on it. She only wanted to master it enough so that she could make the fallen star love her and turn him into a mortal. Then she'd be content to never use it again.
"You don't have to worry about me."
Scarlet lifted her head and quickly gave Julian another kiss, wishing she could say more, but knowing it was past the time to return. When she'd first used the key, she hadn't planned on going back. So she'd not thought about how much time was passing. She hoped the fallen star wouldn't pay another visit so soon. She also worried about the lady prisoner waking up. After turning the reverie key, Scarlet kept her steps light. But once she entered her room in the menagerie, she knew things were not as she'd left them. The lady prisoner was awake, swinging silently on her perch as her lavender skirts brushed the polished floor of her gilded cage.
"If you're going to sneak out, you shouldn't leave for so long. And don't look so surprised. Did you really think I didn't know?"
She affected a soft snore.
"Why pretend?" Scarlet asked. "Because I knew you wouldn't leave if you thought I was awake. But you need to be wiser."
Her voice turned whisper soft, and her inhuman eyes shifted from purple to white as they had earlier that night.
"Leaving here for hours at a time will get you caught with that key far sooner than you're supposed to be."
Chapter 32. Donatella. A full day had come and gone, and Legend was still dead. He needed to come back to life. Legends weren't supposed to die, and Tella wasn't done with him yet. "How long does it usually take him to return to life?" she'd asked Julian during their initial journey to the Count's estate.
"It's usually shortly after sunrise, always less than a day," Julian had answered.
It had been difficult to get him to say much more. Tella sensed there was magic at play that kept him from revealing too many secrets. He did confess that Legend had a connection to all his performers. Julian would sense it when Legend was alive again. And if Legend wanted to find Julian, he'd easily be able to do so. But Legend hadn't appeared, and Julian still hadn't sensed him. Tella didn't know what time it was now, only that it felt like the darkest part of the night as she and Julian exited the Count's estate to head to the Vanished Market. Jax had said the Vanished Market could be summoned by going to a set of ruins to the west of the Temple District. Since Nicholas lived outside the city, the trek was several miles. Julian was silent for much of it. The type of silent that made Tella think he planned to hold his breath the entire time Scarlet was away.
Tella could have done the same thing.
She was all for making mistakes and doing better next time. But Tella feared that if Scarlet took one wrong step, there might not be a next time. Tella sent a prayer up to the saints, even the ones she didn't like that much. She added a prayer for Legend's safe return as well, but she knew it wasn't up to the saints. Legend had only one weakness that could allow him to be truly killed. love. She'd been trying not to think about it. She didn't want to remember the way she'd practically begged him to love her just before he'd been killed. That night, she hadn't fully believed him when he'd said he wasn't capable of loving her. She'd believed he was just afraid of it because he didn't want to sacrifice his immortality and become human. And now she understood why. She told herself to stop worrying. This was legend, and he was ruthless when it came to magic and immortality. He would never let himself die for love. Patella still found herself trying to remember the way he'd kissed her the night of the maze. Had he only felt lust, desire, and obsession that night? Or had his kiss been fueled by love? There'd been a moment during the maze when she thought the words, "I want to keep you," had sounded possessive instead of romantic. But now she found herself hoping he'd only felt the feelings she'd found so hurtful that evening.
"We're almost there," Julian said.
Tella could now see a vague outline in the distance. In the dark, it was hard to tell the difference between stones and shadows, but it looked as if the ruins ahead of them contained a road lined in fossilized trees with crumbling archways at either end and a few frighteningly lifelike statues, which Tella desperately hoped weren't petrified humans. At least there weren't any fates around. Tella halted just before they reached the edge of the ruins in a perfect patch of pale white moonlight. "Am I foolish?" she asked. Julian stopped and looked down at her.
"Depends on what you're referring to. If you're talking about the fact that you're planning to make a blood sacrifice to visit one of the fated places based on the words of another fate, then no, because I'm here and I'm not a fool. But if you're talking about anything involving my brother, you might be."
"Thank you for putting that so gently," Tella said. Julian gave her a one-shoulder shrug.
"I'm just trying to be honest. When I lie, it gets me in trouble with your sister."
"I don't want you to lie. I just wish you had something true to say that I wanted to hear."
He rubbed a hand across his jaw. The combination of moonlight and shadows made him look a little bit like his brother. A little sharper, a little harsher. But even in the dim, Julian's gaze was softer and kinder than Legend's ever was.
"If you want me to tell you that my brother will love you someday, I can't. I've known him my entire life. I'm one of the few people who knew him before he became Legend. And he's never loved anyone. But he has other good qualities. He doesn't give up or quit. And if you matter to him, he'll make you feel more important than anyone in the world. And..."
He trailed off, as if he wanted to stop, but then added reluctantly,
"I do think you matter to him."
But was that enough?
"Now come on," Julian said gruffly. "If Legend were to come back right now, he might kill me for letting you stand in the road so exposed."
"Wait," Tella jumped in front of Julian before he could continue into the ruins. "I just have one more question. He asked me to become an immortal."
"That's not a question, Tella."
"I don't know what to do." Tella thought she'd known. She'd wanted Legend's love, but his death had made her realize she could never ask for his love again.
"That's still not a question," Julian said. "Even if it was, that's a choice I wouldn't want to make for anyone."
He started to walk past her, but then he stopped and turned around.
"If you do say yes, make absolutely sure it's what you want. There's no going back from becoming an immortal."
"Unless I fall in love."
Julian shook his head. "Don't count on that happening. Immortals can't fall in love with each other, and very few humans tempt them to love. No matter what my brother's done, I've never stopped loving him. But he's never loved me back."
Julian's voice was perfectly even, as if it didn't really hurt. But Tella knew it had to destroy him. Legend was his brother. She couldn't imagine how devastating it would feel if her sister didn't love her. But Tella sensed Julian didn't want her pity. He turned around almost as soon as he finished and walked toward the ruins with a quickness to his steps that made it clear he didn't want her to catch up right away. When he did slow down, they searched the ruins together in silence. He'd said all there was to say, and even without Fates lurking nearby, they knew they needed to be discreet. They didn't use torches to seek the hourglass symbol, which Tella feared they would never find. Julian claimed to have perfect night vision, but despite what he'd said about not lying earlier, she was doubtful of this claim.
"Found it," he said, smug and too loudly.
The hourglass was no bigger than a palm, hidden inside of a dilapidated stone arch and gleaming as if lit by magic. It gave just enough illumination for Tella to see that spikes jutted out from the top of it, as if begging for the blood Tella needed to use in order to summon the market.
"Are you sure you still want to go in alone?" Julian asked.
"Every hour inside is a day that passes out here," she reminded him. "If for any reason Scar tries to use her key to find you, it's not safe for her inside the market. She could get caught by the fallen star if she takes too long to return to the menagerie."
"What if she looks for you instead?"
"Now that's sweet of you," Tella said. "But I think we both know that she won't come looking for me with the key." Tella had only watched from the hayloft when Scarlet had first returned, so she'd not heard all that had been said between Scarlet and Julian. But she'd seen the way Scarlet had looked at him. It was the look some people lived their whole lives waiting for, and others lived their whole lives without receiving. It was the look that Tella had kept hoping she'd see from legend. "I'll always be her sister. You can't steal that role from me. But I think you're her first love now, and you should be. If you kept choosing your brother over my sister, I wouldn't think you deserved her. All that I ask is that you don't muck it up. Don't just love her back, Julian. Fight for her every day."
"I intend to."
With that, Tella pressed her fingers into one of the spikes at the top of the hourglass and let her blood drop onto the etched stone. Ethereal light poured from the archway. Suddenly, Tella saw an old crooked road lined with foreign trees on the verge of losing all their brilliant red leaves. Between the trees, tents spread out like colorful bird wings, all littered with bits of nature and ware. These were not the magical tents that Tella had seen during the first Caraval. Legend's tents were perfect stretches of smooth silk, while these were covered in tattered brocades and lined in weather-worn tassels. Yet, there was still something unearthly about them. Just as Tella turned her head to nod goodbye to Julian, she swore the tents all shifted, and for a moment, the wears and tears disappeared, and they looked even more dazzling than the tents of Caraval. Tella boldly stepped through the arch and into the vanished market. It felt like entering an illustrated history book. Women wore bell-sleeved dresses with dropped waists and low-slung belts made of heavy embroidery, while the men wore homespun shirts that laced up in the front, and loose pants tucked into wide-brimmed boots. Between the tents, children dressed in similar clothes pretended to fight with wooden swords or sat braiding wreaths out of flowers.
"Greetings, greetings, greetings! The vanished market is at your service. You might not walk away with what you want, but we'll give you what you need," hollered a man dressed like a herald as Tella ventured farther in. Clearly they were used to visitors from other times. None of them seemed to care that the calf-length dress and worn leather boots she'd borrowed from a servant did not fit in. If anything, it seemed to excite everyone.
"Hello, sweeting. Would you like something to brighten up your ashen complexion and bring your beloved back?"
A woman wearing a thin gold circlet around her brow held out an amulet full of blushing pink liquid.
"What about some fresh roasted seaweeds?" another vendor called. "They heal broken hearts and noses."
"She doesn't want your rotted weeds.
They don't cure anything. What the young lady really needs is this.
The merchant across from him, a heavily wrinkled old man with several missing teeth, thrust out an elaborate beaded headdress as broad as a parasol, with streaming veils as thin as spiderwebs.
If you are not careful, my lady, soon your skin will be as lined as mine.
Don't tell the girl that. She's beautiful, cried a dark-skinned woman in an ivory wimple. Her shop was the most crowded of the bunch. There weren't even tables inside, just glistening piles of the peculiar.
Here, peer into my mirror, child.
The woman shoved her arm in front of Tella.
I'm not,
Tella broke off as she caught a clear gaze of the mirror. Its edges were covered in thick swirls of molten gold, just like the oracle, a faded object that Tella had relied upon a little too much when it had been trapped inside of a card. Tella didn't know if it was the actual oracle now, free from the cards, but she quickly averted her eyes and took a rapid step back before it could show any ill images of the future.
In the correct hands, it will reveal more than your reflection, the woman cooed.
I'm not interested. I like my reflection as it is, Tella continued to stumble away. After that, she tried her best not to be distracted as merchants attempted to sell her brushes that would ensure she'd never lose her hair, drops that would turn her eyes any color she wished, and a disturbing dessert called hummingbird pie. Every vendor was friendly and a little too eager, as if Tella were the first guest in centuries, which might have been the case, since the vanished market had been trapped in a cursed deck of destiny, too.
I have shoes that will keep you from ever getting lost. They're yours if you trade me all your pretty locks of hair.
This enthusiastic vendor already had a heavy pair of shears in his hands. Tella was certain he'd have chopped off all her hair without any permission if she'd not quickly darted into the next tent. It was emptier than the others, with nothing but a pair of turquoise and peach-striped curtains that fell from the fabric roof to the dirt floor. A strikingly beautiful girl, about Tella's age, with flawless skin and lovely cobalt eyes the same color as her hair, sat in front of the curtains on a tall stool. She greeted Tella with an incandescent smile, but Tella swore that paintings had more depth in their eyes. Unlike the other vendors, this girl didn't offer to sell anything. She just kicked her legs back and forth, like a young child. Tella almost turned to leave when another woman slowly shuffled forward from in between the curtains. This one was much older, with wrinkled skin and dull blue hair that looked like a washed-out version of the young girl's. They had the same cobalt eyes as well, but while the younger girl's were vacant, this crone's eyes were sharp and shrewd. Tella felt as if she were looking at two different versions of the same person. One had lost her youth, while the other had lost her mind.
Are the two of you sisters? Tella hazarded.
We're twins, replied the older one.
How?
Tella blurted. Not that it mattered. All she should have cared about was that this was the place she was looking for. But something about these twins filled her stomach with lead. The younger sister continued kicking her legs pleasantly, while the elder sister's lined face turned somber.
A long time ago, we made a bargain that cost us far more than we'd expected. So be warned. Do not trade with us unless you are willing to pay unforeseen costs. We offer no returns or exchanges. There are no second chances. Once you purchase a secret from us, it's yours. We will remember it no more, just as you will forget whatever we have taken from you.
Are you trying to get customers or scare them away? Tella asked.
I'm attempting to be fair. We don't set out to trick our patrons. But the nature of our bargains means no one ever truly knows what they are gaining or losing.
Tella didn't actually need to be told this. She knew a bargain made in a faded place would probably cost her more than she realized. But if they possessed a secret that would reveal a weakness capable of killing the fallen star, she couldn't turn away. Fates were dangerous, but they kept their promises, and the vanished market promised people who entered would find what they needed. And Tella needed a secret. She needed it so that her sister would no longer be in danger, so that people wouldn't be strung up like marionettes, and so that no one else could be killed like her mother, Legend, or Nicholas. "All right," Tella said. "What will it cost me to find out a secret about a fate?"
"Depends on the fate and the type of secret."
"I want to know how to kill the fallen star."
"That's not a secret, precious. Immortals have only one weakness, love."
"But he must have another weakness, one he doesn't want anyone to know about?" A way that would get her sister out of danger, because if love was the fallen star's only weakness, then Scarlet was the most likely person to defeat him or die trying. Tella couldn't let her sister die, and yet she felt as if she could hear the clock on Scarlet's life ticking as the younger blue-haired sister continued kicking her feet, while the older one closed her eyes in thought.
"I do have one of his secrets," she said after a time. Then she turned to her younger sibling. "Millicent, dear, open the vault."
The youthful girl pulled on a brassy tassel that Tella hadn't noticed before, and the heavy curtains behind the older woman immediately parted, revealing row after row after row of shelves lined in ancient treasure chests. They came in all sizes and colors. Some appeared to be crumbling with age. Others shined with wet varnish. A few looked no bigger than Tella's palm, while several were large enough to fit dead bodies. After a minute or so, the older sister returned from between the shelves, holding a square chest of red jasper with a heart on top of it that had fire painted around it. At a glance, the orange and yellow paint appeared slightly chipped and a little dull. But when Tella lifted her gaze up toward the older sister's face, the image flickered, and for a moment she saw genuine flames lick the heart.
"If you use the secret inside correctly, it will help you defeat the fallen star." "However," the woman held the box closer to her chest, "before I can let you have it, I will need a secret from you."
"Do I get to choose the secret?" Tella asked. The woman gave her a peculiar smile, one that lit her eyes without actually moving her mouth.
"I'm afraid your secrets aren't valuable enough to trade, Miss Dragna. The secret we want belongs to your daughter."
"I don't have a daughter."
"You will. We have met you in our past and in your future, and we know you will have a daughter someday."
"Do you know who the father of this daughter is?"
The new voice was low and deep, and the sound of it made Tella's heart race twice as fast. She spun around. Everything in the vanished market blurred, colors merging together, as if the world around her was moving too fast. Except for the handsome boy standing in front of her, taking up the entire doorway to the tent. Legend was there. Chapter 33. Donatella. Legend was there, and alive, so very alive that the sight of him made Tella grin until her cheeks hurt. "You're back." She didn't even care that the words came out breathless. She was beyond pretending that the sight of him didn't steal her breath. He looked like a wish that had just woken up. His eyes were full of stars, his bronze skin was faintly glowing, and his dark hair was a little mussed. He didn't wear a cravat at his throat, and the top buttons of his black shirt were undone, as if he'd been in a rush to leave, to get to her. If her smile hadn't been stretched as far as it could go, she would have grinned even wider.
Did you think I wasn't coming back?
His eyes met hers, and the corner of his mouth hitched up into the arrogant twist she loved so much. Tella broke off. The words "been worried" became lodged in her throat. There was only one reason to have worried about him. She swallowed the words as she fought to keep her smile. He was alive. He was alive and there. That was all that mattered. He was alive. She would have never gotten over it if he'd died because he loved her. And yet it hurt so very much to realize that he was only standing there now, looking like a dream come true, because he didn't love her. And she so desperately loved him.
Ahem, said the older sister. In case the two of you have forgotten, time moves differently here, and I was in the middle of speaking.
Legend's lips formed a flat line as he turned toward the woman, eyes narrowing slightly, as if he'd like to have used an illusion to make her disappear. Maybe he was even trying, but his magic didn't work quite the same inside this faded place. Which was good, because Tella needed this place, and this woman. You said that I would have a daughter, Tella said.
Yes, the father of your child will possess magic, the woman replied. Your daughter will be born with a very powerful gift. But this child will have one fatal weakness. In exchange for the Fallen Star's most closely guarded secret, we want you to discover your daughter's secret weakness and then return to the market and give this knowledge to us.
Are you sure you don't want any of my secrets? Tella asked. She still hadn't wrapped her head around having a child, or that she'd visit this market again in the future, which made her think she'd survive all of this. But she hated to think this was the only way.
You still haven't told us who the father is, Legend said, leaning a broad shoulder carelessly against a tent pole.
But Tella swore she saw a muscle pulse in his jaw.
We do not have permission to share that information, said the older sister. And it's not good to know too much about the future.
Tella agreed. The oracle card that had shown her glimpses of the future had almost gotten her killed. And yet, she couldn't hold back from asking. Can't you just tell me if he's the father?
Who else would be the father? Legend growled.
Don't get upset with me, Tella snapped. You asked the question first. And you don't love me, said her eyes. His eyes flashed with gold. And then, suddenly, he was inside the tent and right in front of her, looking down at her with the handsome face she'd feared she would never see again.
I asked you to become immortal.
One hand wrapped around her waist, warm and strong and solid, while his other hand found the back of her neck. His grin turned devilish as he pulled her closer. Tella's breath went short. What are you doing?
Asking you again.
He kissed her, harsh and quick, and a little bit savage. She parted her lips, but that was all she could do. The hand at her waist kept her pressed to him, while the fingers at her neck spread out, covering her throat as he angled her head back, taking complete control as he deepened the kiss. He was possessing her, owning her with every sweep of his tongue and press of his lips, wordlessly telling her once more that he wanted to keep her forever. He didn't kiss her as if he'd simply just come back to life. He kissed her as if he'd died, been buried, and clawed his way out of the grave and through the dirt just to get to her. Tella had never experienced such a heady feeling in her life. He might not have loved her, but Julian was right that Legend knew how to make her feel wanted.
Just say yes, he said against her lips. Let me make you immortal.
You're not playing fair, she murmured.
I never said I did, and I won't this time.
His thumb stroked the sensitive column of her neck. You're too important, Tella.
But you don't love me.
Although as painful as it was to know that he didn't love her now, she also knew that if he had, he wouldn't be alive right now.
Ahem, the older sister cleared her throat. If you wish to start making that child now, I'm afraid this isn't the place.
Tella leaped away from Legend, crashing back to a terrible reality and blushing harder than she ever had in her entire life.
Now, I suggest we move on, the older sister continued. If you two keep at whatever it is you're doing, weeks will have passed in your world by the time you leave ours.
Dirty saints. Tella really had forgotten about the time. She hadn't heard any bells ring, but she imagined more than an hour must have passed, maybe even longer, which meant at least a day had come and gone in her world. Another day that her sister was being held captive by the fate who'd murdered her mother, and the people of Valenda suffered unknowable terrors as the other fates played with them like toys they wanted to break. And she'd been kissing Legend. Tella's eyes shot back to the red jasper box in the older woman's hands. That was what she'd come here for. A secret that could save them all. And she needed it, regardless of the cost. I'll do it, Tella said. I'll make the trade.
Tella, you don't have to do this. Legend turned to the older sister, tilting his head and flashing a smile that would have made most ladies swoon.
You can have one of my secrets.
The older sister pursed her lips.
We're not interested.
An offended crease formed between Legend's dark brows.
Then there has to be something else you want.
Outside, the sun was still filling the world with lemony light, but none of it reached inside the tent. The air was growing colder, filling with heavy waves of creeping silver-blue fog. Legend! Tella put a hand on his arm before the fog became too thick to see through. It's all right, you don't have to save me. I know what I'm doing.
But you shouldn't have to do it.
He turned back to her, and though he didn't say another word, his eyes were soft, apologetic, and she knew this wasn't about him or his secrets. Legend was thinking about the one thing that Tella hadn't wanted to think about. Or rather, the one person, her mother. When her mother had possessed the deck of destiny that imprisoned the fates, the Temple of the Stars had wanted Paloma to give them Scarlet in exchange for hiding the cursed deck of destiny. Her mother had refused, but she'd easily offered the temple Tella. And it had felt like the worst sort of betrayal, similar to what Tella was doing now.
You don't have to do this, Legend said.
But Tella didn't see a better choice, and she feared she couldn't risk taking the time to find one.
My sister. She's with the Fallen Star. She won't be safe until he's dead.
I know. Julian told me before I found you here.
Then you know that I do have to do this now.
Tella turned back to the sisters before her conscience tried to convince her to change her mind.
You have a deal.
Excellent, said the oldest. We just need to seal your promise. If you failed to discover your daughter's secret weakness by her 17th birthday, or choose not to give it to us, the cost will be your life.
And before anyone could protest, the younger sister pressed a thick rod of iron to the underside of Tella's wrist. She screamed out loud. Legend shot forward and grabbed her free hand.
Look at me, Tella.
His grip was strong and reassuring, but it wasn't nearly enough to distract her from the pain or the sorrow.
So much sorrow.
Tella was familiar with heartbreak, but this was the sort of hurt that came from breaking someone else's heart. A fragile heart. A child's heart. A daughter's heart. Tella closed her eyes to stop the tears. The younger sister pulled the iron from Tella's wrist. Where there had once been flawless flesh, there was now a thin white scar in the shape of a lock made of thorns.
It didn't hurt. The pain instantly disappeared with the brand. But although Tella didn't feel pain or sorrow anymore, she also didn't quite feel like she had before. She thought about her mother and the vision of when her mother had given Tella away. Tella would never know why her mother made the choices she had. But in that moment, Tella believed that it wasn't because she didn't care. It was because she did care. She cared enough to do whatever needed to be done. Maybe that's why she'd chosen to give up Tella instead of Scarlet. Scarlet would willingly sacrifice herself, destroy herself, if she felt it was the right thing. Tella was more like Paloma, willing to do whatever it took, even if it was the wrong thing, if it got her what she needed. Maybe Paloma sacrificed Tella because she knew it wouldn't destroy her. But Tella silently vowed that she would make sure her daughter wouldn't have to make these sorts of choices at all. When this was over, Tella would find a way to make it all right, no matter what it took. Tella clutched the red jasper box with one hand and Legend's hand with the other. He hadn't let go since he'd taken hold of it in the tent. His heavy fingers remained laced with hers, keeping her tucked close to his side as they wove back through the bustling market. He hadn't tried to kiss her again, but occasionally, when she glanced at him, she saw a satisfied smile. Tella wanted to peek inside the box, wanted to know which secret she'd promised so much for. But she didn't want to remain longer than necessary. She imagined she'd spent an hour or two, but maybe it had been longer. Maybe she and Legend had lost 3 or 4 days instead of only 1 or 2. When they crossed through the archway that took them back to Valenda, the sky was midnight blue, making it impossible to tell the hour or how much time had passed. Legend had private residences all over the city. Julian was supposedly waiting for them at the narrow house in the Spice Quarter. Of all his performers, only Iko, Nigel, Caspar, and Jovan knew about it. Heading there should have felt safer than lingering on the ragged streets of Valenda. It hadn't taken long for trash to collect now that the monarchy was in upheaval. Tell it in spiny fates, but she detected their taint taking up residence where night revelers had once been. The jasper box in her hand grew heavier. She had the urge to open it now, but they'd already reached the narrow house, which was indeed a slender structure. At first glance, it appeared barely wider than a doorway, and just as crooked as all the other houses in this part of the city. But the closer they drew, the wider it grew. Tella watched as decorative arched windows appeared on either side of the door. Beneath them rested flower boxes, overflowing with white foxglove, which Tella would have sworn weren't there moments ago. The house would have looked curiously inviting if she had not glanced up to see the maiden Death standing in the center of the second-story window, flashing a macabre smile from behind her cage of pearls. Legend's hand gripped Tella's tighter. In Decks of Destiny, the Maiden Death's card predicted a loss of a loved one or a family member. And it was her card that had first predicted Tella would lose her mother. The air around her crackled, and a fraction of a second later, a hooded figure materialized between Tella and Legend. Tella froze. She couldn't see this figure's face. It was concealed by his cloak. But she didn't need to. There was only one fate with the ability to travel through space and time and materialize at will. The assassin, who, according to Jax, was also insane.
"The Maiden Death is here to see the two of you," he said.
Chapter 34. Donatella. The narrow house was another one of Legend's deceptions. Tella had seen through the glamour outside and thought it had looked charming, but inside, it reminded Tella of the illusion Legend had created in the dungeon, when he'd turned her cell into a 4-story study. The ceilings of the narrow house stretched even higher, and the books on the surrounding shelves didn't look as flawless as they had in his illusion. Some of the volumes were aged and cracked and fragile, as if they'd experienced several previous lives before finding homes on these shelves. Legend had one arm protectively around Tella's shoulders as they entered the vaulted room. He hadn't even wanted Tella to enter the house, but the assassin had been insistent. And so had Tella. This was her fight as well as Legend's. The scene they'd stepped into could have been a painting called Hostages at a Tea Party. Legend's most trusted performers were sitting stiffly in tufted red chairs that encircled a shiny ebony table, set with a pewter tea service that no one touched, except Nigel, Legend's tattoo-covered fortune teller. Julian and Jovan were there, as well as Iko, Legend's historiographer, who captured the history of Caraval through pictures, and Caspar, who'd once pretended to be Tella's fiancé. Behind them, the assassin and the maiden death hovered like grim hosts. A few of the other fates Tella had seen sometimes glowed, but the assassin, who kept his face concealed by his heavy hood, appeared to collect shadows. The maiden death looked exactly like her card from Dex of Destiny. Her head was covered in curving bars of pearls that wrapped around like a cage, and her dress looked more like long tatters of gossamer fabric that had been tied together. She didn't glow either, but her frayed garment billowed around her, as if she kept a private wind on a leash.
"Do not be afraid of us," said the Maiden Death. "We are here to help defeat the Fallen Star.
And if we wanted to hurt you, I'd have shoved daggers through each of your hearts the moment I saw you outside."
The assassin's voice was like nails pounding through glass, harsh and discordant.
"Is that really how you win people over?" muttered Julian.
"Daishim,"
the Maiden Death chided in a voice far softer than her cloaked companion's.
"Remember what we talked about?"
"You said to be friendly. That was a joke."
No one laughed except for Jovan.
"I think you need some work on your humor, mate."
"If you don't kill us all, I'll help you out," added Caspar.
"Thank you,"
the assassin answered. Not that his politeness appeared to relax anyone. If anything, more tension filled the room. Watching Caspar and Jovan smile at the hooded assassin felt like observing kittens hop toward a crocodile.
"I know you have little reason to trust us, but I come to warn of harm, not bring it."
The Maiden Death's mournful eyes met Legend's, and the wind that made her shredded dress billow grew stronger.
"I sense your entire world is in danger if you refuse to accept our help."
"Any danger to our world is because of your kind," Legend said.
"You're not that different from us," replied the Maiden Death. "You're immortal, and you have abilities like ours. But you do not know what it's like to be connected to the Fallen Star. We are his immortal abominations, and when we act out, he punishes us eternally. Your myths claim that death imprisoned my head in pearls, but it was really Gavriel. Once upon a time, he wanted me. I refused him. So he had my head caged in this cursed globe to keep anyone else from touching me. I have tried to remove it. I have even died and come back to life. But the cage will remain until Gavriel dies."
"And what's your tale of woe?" Tella asked the assassin.
"It's none of your business. You should trust me, because I'm not killing any of you right now."
"That's good enough for me," Caspar said with a laugh. It seemed he thought the assassin was telling another joke.
Tello wasn't so sure.
Julian appeared leery as well. He sat opposite where the fate stood, elbows on the table as he leaned forward with a stare that was on the verge of asking for a fight.
We all agree. Everyone hates the fallen star. But I still find it hard to believe you'd want him dead, since killing him makes you two more vulnerable.
Being vulnerable is not as bad as some believe, said the Maiden Death. The fallen star's death would make us ageless. If we died, we wouldn't come back to life, it's true. But if we are ageless, we could still live almost as long as an immortal if we're careful. Although, not all of us want to even live that long. Some among our kind would like to have the option of finally dying, but they are not willing to openly oppose him. No one wants to spend an eternity in a cage.
That I believe.
Legend's tone was more diplomatic than his brother's, but it was clear from the heavy weight he put behind it that one wrong move from the Fates would change his approach.
Can we all have a minute alone? If you're really here to help us, I don't imagine that will be a problem.
The Maiden Death silently glided toward where Legend and Tella stood near the door. Once she left, the assassin simply, and unnervingly, disappeared in a way that reminded everyone he could reappear, with the knives he spoke about earlier. Tella swore the walls shuddered, as if the study had finally stopped holding its breath. Legend loosened his grip on Tella, but didn't let her go as he moved closer to the table. This was the first time she'd ever seen him interact with his performers like this. Some of his performers didn't even know who he truly was, but these were the ones he was closest to. There was a respectful silence as Legend and Tella reached the table together. Everyone looked anxious to give their opinion, but no one said a word until Legend turned to Nigel. The tattooed fortune teller picked up a cup of tea and took a sip before speaking, his lips surrounded by inked, barbed wire.
I couldn't get a read on either fate. The assassin's eyes were concealed by his hood, and when the Maiden Death looked my way, she only met my eyes. Her gaze never ventured to any of my tattoos.
What's your personal impression? Legend asked.
Never trust a fate, Nigel said.
If the assassin had wanted to hurt us, he would have, Caspar interrupted.
Maybe their plans involve more than murdering us in a parlor, said Jovan.
Not all fates are murderers, Baiko said.
So you think we should trust them? Asked Legend.
Yes, Caspar and Iko answered at the same time. Jovan firmly said,
No. Anyone who uses a the in front of their name is never trustworthy. But since your orders were for the rest of our troop to head back to your island for safety, it might not be a bad idea to consider new allies.
Legend turned to Julian.
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but...
Julian rubbed his hand up and down along the scar marking his face.
I like the assassin's powers. He could go to Crimson if we ever needed him to.
I don't know about that, Tella cut in. I heard the assassin wasn't in his right mind because he's traveled through time too much. But we may not need him or the Maiden Death. We might already have the answer to defeating the fallen star. She eased herself from under Legend's arm and held out her red jasper box as she quickly explained why it might be the answer to all of their problems. But almost as soon as Tella undid the latch, she realized it would not be an answer to any problems. The note inside was so thin, it looked as if it might fall apart with a touch.
Gavriel, the fallen star, was human once. This happened only briefly, right before he was betrayed by the only human he ever loved. Paradise, the lost.
Tella ignored the pang she felt at the sight of her mother's name and reread the note, hoping more words would show up on the page. But they didn't. This was not what she had wanted. Tella wanted a list of weaknesses, a fatal flaw, or a simple plan that outlined exactly how to murder a fate or a fallen star. But this secret only told her that the one person who could kill the fallen star was already dead. Never mind that idea. Tella dropped the box on the table. She would have crumpled up the useless words inside it as well, but the note had disappeared as soon as she finished rereading it. Poof. Gone. She could feel her hope dwindling, but Tella refused to give up on finding the fallen star's weakness. And the note did reveal one thing. On the night her mother had died, Tella hadn't understood why her mother had stabbed him. But now she did. Paloma must have thought that Gavriel still loved her, and that their reunion would turn him mortal so that she could kill him. Only he'd killed her instead.
Have you come to a decision?